talking about now faith tonight. So we're going to get started. We're going to pray our prayer challenge prayer here first. And then we're going to talk about now faith, just all throughout the day today. I just keep seeing this word now, and just talking about the present moment, about bringing our faith more into the present moment is a very important aspect. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, talks about now faith is in the present moment. And so let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into this a little bit more. But Heavenly Father, just pray for everybody who's here and all those who'll be watching the replay and all of our families and friends and those connected to us. And we pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, we just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together tonight. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement along with feeling encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. I ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So we've already done tonight the other half of prayer. Hopefully you guys got the process working there, just planning our day with God. And then it's about walking it out, executing those things that you know to do, staying connected to him, staying plugged into him, and trusting that he's there with you, helping you execute those things that you know to do. Now, like I said, I've just been seeing this word, it's just been jumping off pages at me everywhere today, this word now. In the yearly cycle right now, we're in this time of year where it's a reminder for us. This time of year is a reminder about being more present, staying in the now, present moment, and about mastering the shorter things, the smaller things, okay, and winning the present moment. I'm just thinking about, I've been watching some baseball lately. The college baseball playoffs are on, and actually our team, one of the teams here, University of Virginia, their coach has been, he's won a lot of games. He's won a national championship before. He's been to the College World Series several times, and they started off their year pretty rough, but they started to turn around. They started to make a comeback, and they worked their way all the way into getting close to the national championships, getting close to the finals now. And the one thing he keeps preaching to his team all the time is stay in the present moment. They keep talking about how he just keeps telling them that over and over, stay in the present moment, let go of the last pitch, let go of what's already happened in the game, whether it was good or bad, let go of it and stay right here in this present moment and win this pitch, win one pitch at a time. That's something that they teach a lot in baseball. Just win this present moment, keep winning this one pitch at a time. And you keep doing that over and over, and you keep stringing that together over and over, it leads you to a good place. Now, I was thinking about something I've known in the gym for a long time, is this idea. A lot of times people get focused on endurance and doing longer cardio and these types of things. But something that I've found to be true is that if you get better and stronger and faster at the shorter things, like a heavier weight for less reps rather than a high weight for a lot of reps. Now you need both for balance, but if you get better at the shorter one, it always carries over to increases in the longer one, but the reverse is not true. For example, if I take my max bench press or how fast I can run or my max speed on how fast I can run or how far I can jump, it raises up my ceiling so that everything underneath that feels easier and I can coast at a higher level. I can cruise at a higher level. And so God began to kind of give me another illustration of this recently. So God's been teaching me some things about workouts lately. And I've been using this idea of a 50 second intervals. And basically thinking about how much can I get done in 50 seconds. And kind of my theory at this point is that if you improve what you could do in 50 seconds, your capacity of what you could do in 50 seconds, which is kind of a short timeline, if you just did that, everything else gets a lot better because you have to have some strength, you have to have some speed, you have to have endurance kind of all packaged together in the shorter time frame of 50 seconds. So I've actually been training this for probably a month or two now of just getting better at 50 second intervals. And just today, I said, well, I'm going to try a longer one now today. I don't even know what prompted it other than probably God prompting it because he just wanted to talk about this tonight. But I said, I'm going to try a longer one today and just kind of test it out to see what happens. And so I did an 8-minute long one. Basically, I was going to run a mile. And so I was going to see, I've been running 50-second runs, which is about a quarter of a mile run, to see how far I could get in 50 seconds. I said, well, I'm going to try to run a mile and see what I could do. And as I got started running, I said, wait a second, it's pretty easy to coast at this level. And I ran around something like a 7-minute mile and really wasn't even out of breath at all today. And it was fairly easy to do because I had been training at a much higher pace than that. And the 7-minute mile is nothing crazy, you know, nothing crazy to do. But I want you to think about if you wanted to run an 8-minute mile, let's say if your goal was to run an 8-minute mile or 6-minute mile or 4-minute mile, whatever your time was that you wanted to run. If you want to be able to run an 8-minute mile on a track, okay, what I would tell you is this. If you can't run one lap in 2 minutes, you have no chance of running an 8-minute mile. If you can't run one lap in 2 minutes, you have no chance at running an 8-minute mile. And if we got even shorter than that, you know, one lap around the track is about 400 meters. If you can't run 100 meters in under, what would that be, 30 seconds, you have no chance at running an 8-minute mile because you can't meet the minimum speed requirements to run an 8-minute mile. And so if you get to where you could run, let's say Usain Bolt, I just saw a quote from him the other day, who's Olympic gold medalist, probably world record holder, Olympic world record holders in the 100 meters, runs it in 9-point-something seconds. He says, I trained 4 years to run 9 seconds. Trained for 4 years to run 9 seconds. And most people give up when they don't see results in 2 months, was his quote. But to think about, if I can't run 100 meters in 30 seconds, no amount of trying to run further is going to help me run an 8-minute mile. If I want to run a 4-minute mile, then I got to be able to run one lap in 1 minute. If I can't run one lap in 1 minute, no amount of trying to run further is going to help me run a 4-minute mile. And to break that down, I'd have to run, what is that? I have to run a 15-second 100 meters. If I can't run a 15-second 100 meters, I have no chance at running a 4-minute mile. And so the shorter always leads to better improvements in the longer game. But the reverse is not true. And I've seen this to be true over and over in the gym. I had a guy one time who was training for a long endurance event, and we did mostly short stuff. And he was worried because he hadn't done anything long, but we had raised and raised and raised his capacity on the shorter stuff. And when he got to the longer event, he actually won it. And he said it was no problem. And he didn't quite understand it. I said, because if we raised your capacity and now you can cruise at a higher level. And so if we win the present moment, I want you to think about We have long-term visions and goals and plans and things we want to do and things we want to accomplish. But until we keep winning the present moment, there's no chance. Until you break it down to the level where I keep winning the present moment and keep stringing those together, doing that over and over again, there's no chance to win the long game. And so we got to keep winning the present moment over and over. How do we do that? Keep showing up. Get more present in your day, which means they got to let go of the past. Think about what I just said 2 seconds ago. That's in the past. It is always the present moment. Things that just happened 5 seconds ago are gone. They're past. Got to keep getting myself, keep working myself. As we were talking about earlier, sustaining God's presence with me. Getting in the present moment and sustaining that and not get it, trying to fight that, those distractions that try to get you dwelling on the past or worried about the future, what's coming in the future, getting into the present moment. Now that, yes, there's still a place for the long game, place to dream and to vision and to plan. We have to take time to do that, to take time to get still and to plan with God. But then when it comes to actually walking out the day, we got to keep it in the present moment. And what's your indicator? In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Peace and joy. Like we talked about rating our levels. Did I have peace and joy or did I not? When I have peace and joy, those are good indicators that I'm more in the present moment. I'm not reliving the past. I'm not worried about the future. I'm right here in this present moment. And peace and joy are our indicators for that. Now, I want to take a look at a passage. Well, first of all, I want to do a quick reminder. Our communion meditation this morning talked about Jesus turning water into wine. And it says the master of the banquet. So you could think the master of the banquet, that's a symbolic of God the Father. The master of the banquet says to Jesus, basically, you have saved the best until now. You have saved the best until now. So God's best, I believe, comes about by getting more present, more aware of his present, and you getting more present in your day. His best, not better, his best comes about by getting more present. And then I was thinking about that, and I was reading in John chapter 4 earlier today. And this is Jesus has just talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. He told her she had already had five husbands, and she says, wow, you're surely a prophet. And she wants to go back and tell everybody who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah. And while Jesus is waiting for his disciples to return, they had gone off to go buy food. It says this, John chapter 4, starting in verse 27. We're going to read a couple paragraphs here just for the context of it. It says, just then Jesus' disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, just because in that day and time, that typically didn't happen. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar. Notice the woman left her water jar and she went back to the town. She had come for water, but she got something better. She went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And the disciples don't get it. They don't understand what he's talking about. They're thinking, does someone sneak him some food? But Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 more months, and then the harvest comes. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest right now. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life. So you see this balancing pair. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of God's favor. Now the crop is ready for eternal life. This balance of eternal life and now, they seem to go together. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So Jesus says, right now, the harvest is ready. We say, oh, there's four more months to go. We talk about yearly cycle and seasons with God. And those are all reminders of different angles of God. But even right now, the harvest is ready. He saved his best for right now in this present moment, because that's where the grace flows. Right now in the present moment. Today is the day of his salvation. Today is the day of his favor. Right now is where the grace flows. Now, a lot of times we like to pray about things, and we pray about things and we think we're going to receive the answer in the future. But Jesus says, the moment that you pray, believe you receive the moment you pray. How would your prayers and walking out your prayers look differently if we get the hang of this, where we say, you know what, the moment I pray, God heard me, he's on it. I receive that answer by faith. Doesn't mean I've seen the result or the manifestation of it yet, but I know that he's on it. How would that change the way we speak, the way we act, the way we walk our days out to say, you know what, I've got it now. Now is the time to get more present and to be executing and thinking, all right, now is the time. Do it now. Those things that I've been waiting on and procrastinating on, do them right now. One other thing I feel like God's been prompting. I'm gonna read just a little bit out of the Eighth Date book. If you give me a second here, I'll get it pulled up. All right. So we're supposed to believe. This is coming from the Eighth Day, and this is in the chapter on faith. And we talk about faith in the present moment. We believe with the heart, and we speak faith with our mouths and our actions. Faith is a language. It's the language of somebody who believes. Faith speaks gratitude, praise, and optimism, even in the face of circumstances that don't look good. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. Faith speaks into the future and creates the future, because faith talks about the answer before it shows up. Faith speaks like something has already happened. Imagine you prayed and asked God to heal your body or to help in your finances. If we truly believe we receive the answer the moment we pray, our words and actions would change from that point on. Often, something I've learned for myself personally, if I have some kind of symptoms in my body, one of the most practical things that I've learned is super easy to do is to change the tense in which I speak about it. For example, the past was 2 seconds ago. What I just said a second ago, that was the past. For example, if my stomach was hurting, I would say my stomach was hurting, not is hurting, because it was hurting 2 seconds ago. That's the truth. And I will bring that faith into the present moment. I was done this with my kids where they had a fever, and I would say, you know what? People would ask, hey, how are they doing? And I had just checked their temperature 10 seconds ago. And I would say, they had a fever. Not they have, they had a fever. And almost every time I have ever done this that I can remember, as soon as I change the tense, and sometimes I've forgotten at first, every time I have changed the tense in which I speak, things turn very quickly. Every time I have changed the tense in which I speak, things have turned very quickly. If you read through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you're going to see a lot of things where the tense is different than you would expect it to be. Like things have already happened. And that's not by accident. So we're going to take communion here. I know some of you guys said you got your elements ready to go. That's good. We're going to take communion. And what are we doing when we take communion? We're bringing the sacrifice of Jesus that happened over 2,000 years ago. And we're bringing it into the present moment. We're bringing it into the now by faith. We're receiving it and making it active and alive and relevant in our lives right now at this present moment. But then as we receive that, it's supposed to create a turning point in our life that changes the trajectory of our lives going forward every time we do this, or we come out of it a different person. And so as we take communion today, what I want this to be an activation of is that from this point on, I'm going to get more present. I'm going to let go of the past. I'm going to stop worrying about the future. And I'm going to get more present as I go about my day. And yes, there's going to be things that try to pull you out of that. And it's a practice. It's learning to get it back into the present moment. It's learning to recognize it and be aware of it and get back in the present moment. Because God saved his best for now in the present moment. That's how we access it. Because faith is in the now. Everything we access with God is by faith. But to get walking by faith, you have to get more present. You have to get into the now. So when we break this bread, it's symbolic. We're letting go. We're breaking it. We're letting go of any old patterns that we've had of not being in the present moment. And what happens when we're in the present moment? This amazing things happens. When we get more present, our awareness of what's going on around us increases. We listen better. We're more aware. We observe things that we don't normally, that we might normally miss in our everyday interactions. And all of a sudden, this whole world opens up to us that we never saw before, because we're more aware of things happening in around us in our normal everyday life. And so as we break this bread, we're breaking the old patterns, and we're going to be stepping into the new. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bread, and we bless it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said this, just saw this the other day. I think it was in Luke, in the gospel account of communion at the Last Supper. He says, "Take it. Take it, receive this. He's made you righteous. He's made you holy. By faith, we have access to this grace in which we stand, that we can approach God with freedom and confidence." But if you have your bread, you can go ahead and take your bread now. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Think about that. Forgiveness of sins. He's wiping all the old away. God can make you forget the troubles, all the ways that we've missed it in the past. And we can start new. We can start fresh from this point on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. All right. So every time we take communion, we're receiving it in the present moment. But then we got to walk it out. We got to follow through. We got to finish high. And now it's about walking out your day. Just a string, a series of present moments as you walk out your day. And kind of like we talked about with the baseball example, keep winning one pitch at a time. There'll be things that try to distract you and get you pulled off. Keep redirecting your focus back right into the now. This is where God is. He says, "I am, not I was, not I will be. I am right here, right now in the present moment." So we're going to walk out our day. We're going to be growing in this. It's going to be a turning point. It doesn't mean it all changes today or tomorrow, but it's a turning point. And everything in the kingdom starts as a seed. So it might start small. There might be a small turning, but it's going to continue to grow from this point on. But I'm going to open it up, guys, and we can discuss a little bit more.